Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Nick Kieser live at our 102.5 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe and I out here at Duncan in Old Hickory, 14835 Lebanon Road. We're going to be out here for the next hour. Chase and Big Joe will be out here as well from 9 to 11. Come on out. Hot coffee, fresh donuts. I'm eating a donut as we speak and trying to do a radio show at the same time. So we'll see how that goes. 14835 Lebanon Road here in Old Hickory. We've had people rolling in all morning, so appreciate everybody coming out here so far this morning.
It's rocking out here.
It is rocking out here. Taking your thoughts on the Titans as well. They lose 20-16 last night to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Will Levis, start number two in his career, Joe. Obviously, he didn't throw a touchdown pass in this game, so the box score is not going to look the same as what we saw the other day. No deep completions for touchdowns to DeAndre Hopkins, and the Titans lose. I thought, for the most part, he was pretty impressive last night. He ends up 22 of 39, 262 yards, no touchdowns, does have the one interception, quarterback rating of 66.4. But I thought, in the first half especially, he made some throws that were high-level NFL throws. You know, the one that where they're backed up to the end zone and he hits DeAndre Hopkins kind of coming across the middle there. Good route by Hopkins. Great throw by Levis. Big gain on that play to get him out of trouble and get out of the shadow of their own end zone there. A great throw in the face of pressure to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine where he just kind of lofts one up there in the middle of the soft spot of the zone. I just think there were about four or five examples last night of really, really good throws from Will Levis that not a lot of people can make in this league. And it's two games. The box score doesn't look the same as it did Sunday, but you said it earlier, and I tend to agree. You can make a case that last night was every bit as impressive, maybe even a little bit more impressive from Will Levis, given the circumstances, given the pass rush he was facing, and going on the road in that environment against Pittsburgh. I thought he showed himself pretty well again last night.
Yeah, I could make a case that in some ways last night was more impressive. I mean, there was more that we saw from him that was positive that we didn't get a chance to see in the first one. Also, again, the offensive line struggles, the road, the environment, the operation again was fine. Not one delay a game in two games with Will Levis at quarterback.
Pretty impressive.
And he's in command of that. He's in command. He didn't always make the right check and protections, but he knows what he's looking at. I mean, at one point it's like, hey, there's TJ Watt. He's at the mic now. He's in the middle of the field.
Yep.
Someone block him. I thought, the pass to Hopkins from his own end zone was a big time play. The pass to Burks from his own end zone in the second half when they were still holding the lead was a big time play. The pass to Spears, during which Spears all of a sudden became an outfielder at the wall rather than just, kind of turn and run the other way. He put it in a spot where it should have been a touchdown.
Yep.
And that would have been a stunning, just right down the field in the two-minute drill for the rookie drive. He was fantastic on that drive, hitting Kyle Phillips for a couple big plays on that drive. There were some rookie moments. You can't do the attempt to lateral. And when you're going down, that's a Deshaun Watson from a few weeks ago kind of play. But luckily for Levis, he was down.
Yep.
He stared down Hopkins a couple times, I think, too much. And didn't come off him. They're standing in the pocket overall, super impressive, tough, took the hits, hung in there, let plays develop. There were maybe one or two where you just got to get rid of it and not take the sack. Easy for me to say, but, if we're nitpicking, he almost threw a pick to Hopkins on the last drive. Hopkins had to play defense. He stared him down. It just wasn't there. He tried to throw a pick before he actually threw a pick in the middle of the field, too. I would have liked to see him on the pick. I would like to see him just try Chris Moore. Paint the edges where you're only going to probably have one defender involved.
Yep.
And you have to beat one defender as opposed to the middle of the field where you just have – it was so crowded in there. That pass didn't have much of a chance. So, wasn't perfect. But I've said more negatives there. I basically hit all the negatives and did not touch on all the positives. It was way weighted in the favor of positive. And, look, it's not overreaction to say that it's encouraging right now. No one is getting his gold jacket ready, but in two games, I don't know how you could have asked to see much more from Will Levis.
Yeah, he's looked really good. And, again, some of the throws that he's making are just high-level throws. And I said it earlier, like sometimes you watch somebody play and you realize, okay, they've got something a little bit different. They've got something that's a little bit special. And, look, you know, I was very critical of Will Levis during the draft process and the accuracy and all those things. And so far through two games, he's proven me wrong. He's looked good. And can he continue to do that? Can he continue to make good decisions? I think for the most part, his decisions have been good. Now, he did have the interception last night on the last drive. The first play of that drive, actually, was a great play by DeAndre Hopkins to break up what probably could have been another interception. So it wasn't perfect from Will Levis by any stretch of the imagination. But if you're a Titans fan today, to me, the rest of this season, that's what this is about. This is about Levis, and it's about how can he develop, how much can you figure out about what he is, what you have, what it can mean for your team as you move forward here. And, yes, you still want to try to win as many games as you possibly can, and you want to see if you can put yourself in a spot where you can get back in the playoffs. And I know that sounds far-fetched to a lot of Titans fans right now as they sit here in 3-5. But to me, it's about Levis. Like, Levis needs to be the starter the rest of the year, and you need to figure out or get a better picture, a better idea of what you have with him. And so far through two games, I think you got to be really excited. I think you got to be really excited if you're a Titans fan, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, if you're Mike Vrabel, even though he's not going to allow himself to be excited in a post-game press conference setting when it comes to Will Levis. But I don't know how, if you're Vrabel, you can watch these last two games and not come away pretty encouraged and pretty impressed by what you've seen from your rookie quarterback and not allow yourself to start to think about, okay, well, if this is what he is and he continues to grow, and we'll see where that goes from here, what does that mean for the future of this team, this franchise, if Will Levis turns into one of those guys? And I think through two games, he has looked very, very impressive to this point.
Yeah, I just don't see how you could not objectively look at Will Levis right now and be impressed. I mean, I'll be interested. I mean, I watched Dan Orlovsky, and all the NFL film breakdown guys that I've seen gushed all over him after the first game. We'll see. You know, we'll see what people come away with from this game, but overall I think it'll be a lot of the same, because like it's just way more good than bad. So, and I do feel like, Robbie, I feel like it's almost like we're doing damage control for Vrabel, but someone asked about Vrabel saying not good enough on Levis. That's what Vrabel answers every time
they lose
after a loss.
Yeah.
You ask him about any player after a loss, they say, well, it wasn't good enough. Nobody of the Titans was good enough. I mean, it's absolutely guaranteed. You can just rubber stamp that quote into a losing press conference when he's asked about a player. So that's not a deal. Let me ask you this, Robbie.
Okay.
So going in the draft, let's see, what was my order? My order was
you had Bryce Young.
I think Hooker.
It was, yeah.
Stroud Levis?
I believe so.
Yeah, Young, Hooker, Stroud Levis.
Yeah.
What was yours?
Mine, I believe, was Stroud 1, Young 2, Hooker 3, Levis 4, I think is what it was.
Okay, so what is it now?
Well,
in terms of certainty that these four, they will become – oh, by the way, we didn't mention Richardson.
Yeah, Richardson. So I guess I had Levis 5th then, because I believe I had Stroud 1, Young 2, Hooker 3, Richardson 4, Levis 5 is the way I had it.
I think I had Levis 5th too. Richardson, I don't remember where I had him. But, okay, right now, you've got to bet a big chunk of your money in their turning into great NFL quarterbacks or just ranking them as NFL quarterbacks, their careers. What are you doing?
Well, it's hard. I mean, Richardson, we've barely seen him play. Hooker, we haven't seen him play. Levis has played 2 games. I think I'm most confident right now in Stroud. I would go Stroud 1. I think I might go Levis 2. It's just so hard to answer the Hooker question because he's not been on the field. So right. I have no read on Hooker one way or the other. I don't feel any differently about Hooker than I did in the draft. I think if he's healthy, he can be a good NFL player. So Hooker's the hard one to place. I'm actually, if anything, after watching Anthony Richardson play, I was pretty encouraged by, like, on the field what I saw, and he looked more ready than I thought he would. My question with him is, like, can he take care of himself, or can they, as an organization, put him in a position where he's not hurt left and right because he's running around? So I guess I'm dodging your question, but I would go Stroud 1, Levis 2, Young 3, Richardson 4, and I guess Hooker 5 because I have no body of information on Hooker.
Yeah, I'm going Hooker 5 too, just because, like, now we've seen them all play. I think there's actually encouragement with all of them at this point. And Hooker, I mean, I still believe he absolutely can be a good NFL quarterback, but, like, you know, he's got to be, if you're betting money, like, you've seen positives from the other one. You haven't seen anything from him yet. I'm going Young still 1. I'm sticking with Young 1. I absolutely – people, don't get fooled by that awful team. He just beat Stroud and outperformed him, by the way. I'm going to go Levis 2 also. I'm bringing Levis up to 2.
Somebody send us some jerseys.
Oh, my goodness.
Some Will Levis jerseys.
WHMR on display. And then I'm going to go Richardson, Stroud. And nothing against Stroud. I mean, I like Stroud. I think Stroud – I just think his ceiling isn't as high as Richardson or Levis or Young. I just don't.
He's looked pretty darn good.
No, he has. And, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. But if you're saying who's going to have the better careers, I got to put him fourth. Sorry.
615-737-1025, our phone number. There's a take on the text line that I am really excited to get Rex Rhodes' thoughts on coming up next. We'll do that.
From who?
We'll see. I'll let you know.
Oh, boy.
This is Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. They fall at 3-5 last night after a 20-16 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. Discussing Will Levis's performance now, taking your thoughts on that. On our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lenny on the text line, Joe.
Okay.
Says, Levis might be the best rookie quarterback drafted since Mahomes. He just needs a better supporting cast. Good future draft picks, trades, and free agency, and the Titans are back in the AFC title game. What do you think of that? Levis might be the best quarterback drafted since Mahomes.
Well, I'm
which would include the likes of Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence.
It might be a little bit of a stretch there. Little bit of a stretch. Let's not.
Probably not.
Yeah, well, if you've seen Pulp Fiction, let's not all. Well, yeah. All right. I thought it's funny. I'm surprised because I thought that. The Wolf. I thought you were going to bring me Adam and Portland's take. I'm like, I'll throw that one at you.
Okay.
We're throwing takes at each other on the Texan with Robbie and Rexrod, which has to be the Texan because our guests abandoned us today.
They did.
Adam says, my thing is this. Trevor Lawrence looked like a bust till Jacksonville fixed the issue in front of him, which was Urban Meyer.
Yep.
We need to fix the issue before we ruin Levis. Big changes need to happen at the top. Hot take, Vrabel isn't the coach next year. Rand picked someone who he isn't threatened by and who isn't a – bleep hole.
Well, Rand does not have the power
end
to pick
quote.
So let's can we Rand does not have the power to fire Mike Vrabel,
right.
Guys. Now, I don't know why we keep going back down this rabbit hole.
Well, and I don't know if now I will say this in Adam's defense. Now that doesn't mean Amy couldn't say I don't like the coaching. Again, Robinson had more power than Vrabel. Robinson got fired.
Sure.
So Amy could decide, yes, Mike's not the right coach, you're gone, and then Rand would do that. But yeah, that's the part. So if that's what you mean, Adam, then and again, I first of all, like, you are now equating Urban Meyer's absolute bleep show of an NFL coaching career to Vrabel.
Yep.
That's a tough one. What's the hotter take? That he just compared Urban's challenges for Trevor Lawrence to Vrabel and Levis, or the take of Levis is the best drafted quarterback since Mahomes?
That's pretty close.
They're both scorching
both
here
spicy.
On this. The donut.
This is why we love
I'm
the text
looking
line.
At that donut, but it's about to burst into flames before I put it in my mouth. I have to grab it quickly.
I mean, look, guys. The Vrabel part of this, I hesitate, Joe, after to say what I'm about to say after
uh-oh.
The way last
say
year
it.
Went.
Just say it.
Mike Vrabel's not getting fired after this year, guys. I would put the chances at 0.0. He's not getting fired.
I wouldn't do that.
I would. He's not getting fired after this
I mean,
year.
I agree he's not getting fired, but 0.0 is too high, man. Or too high. Too high. 0.0 is
negative
too low.
Percentage.
Yeah. It's not zero. I mean, she fired John Robinson in the middle of the season.
I understand. But I guess the logic in me, number one, I think they're going to end up winning six or seven games somewhere in that neighborhood. I think there will be enough good flashes from Levis where you talk yourself into, hey, let's find our quarterback so we can figure everything else out now. Found the quarterback. Let's start building the roster again and recovering from some of the mistakes that John Robinson made in the draft. And she just fired somebody and chose a different path. So do we think a year later she's just all of a sudden going to fire Vrabel again? Like, I think Vrabel is in way more danger in some of the minds of the fan base than he actually is in reality. Like, I don't think he's in very much danger at all of losing his job. That's just me.
Well, and so this goes into a discussion we had earlier. We're talking about Tim Kelly, too, because Tim Kelly, play calling, quarterback development, all those things, right? Let's keep in mind, folks, because I do, like, you know, Mike Tomlin is a defensive coach. You know, for a few years there, the Steelers had the best offense in the NFL, right, with the killer bees, right? Yeah. Bill Belichick is a defensive coach. He was the defensive coach for the greatest quarterback, or one of them at least, in the history of the NFL. Jeez. So you know, let's not forget Dan Fouts. Keep that in mind with Mike Vrabel. Again, like, Vrabel is not the guy specifically in charge with developing the quarterback.
Correct.
I mean, look, if Vrabel starts going into, you know, he has a house in Columbus. If he starts checking oil at bars and stuff and doing weird stuff and, like, not flying home with the team and just, you know, hitting kickers on the head, then you can start comparing him to Urban Meyer. I mean, come on. Here's the thing. A lot of it is it's those guys. It's Tim Kelly. It's Charles London. Do you believe they can develop Will Levis? Do you believe there's some good work on display from them right now? I would say you'd have to say that to some extent, right? Which is separate from, like, Dave's question. We talked about it earlier. We can talk about it again. I don't like getting the ball at your 48, having a chance to come down the field and score to win the game, and not letting your quarterback throw the ball until it's fourth down.
No, it's three runs.
I get what Vrabel was saying about the third down run. You try to pop one there, you know you're going on fourth down, but you ran it three times.
It's terrible.
And I think that's a mistake. And you ran it three times, and one of them was Derrick Henry, by the way.
Right.
I don't have as big a problem with the third down at the end of the first half. I know Kaharski is all over. He's probably still talking to people on the plane right now about that and screaming about it. I get that. He's a rookie. He's still a rookie quarterback, right? He still had looked like a rookie at times last night. You get points for sure. You think your defense is going to, like, help you in this game and not just let them rip down the field running the ball for a 92-yard drive to beat your butt all over the field, right? I mean, that's how you're thinking at that point.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of this season, and this is part of why I feel so strongly about Vrabel not really being in any danger at all, the way that I do. It's all about what you can sell to your fan base. It's what you can sell to your team. But it's also what you can sell to your owner, right? So last year, let's think about the trajectory. You're trying to win a division for the third consecutive year in a row. You look around and you say, oh, A.J. Brown just totally kicked their butt, and the guy responsible for making that trade, I don't care what they say, it's not a coincidence to me that he was fired 2 days after that happened. On a Tuesday when they were 7-5. It was because of A.J. Brown. That's why he got fired. So I'm not saying that's the wrong move. I'm just saying it happened, and now you've gone in a different direction. You've taken another quarterback, apparently a quarterback that was ownership-inspired or ownership-driven, whatever word you want to use. If you get to the end of this season, even if they end up winning two more games, you get to the end of this season, and he has shown – if he continues to show signs that he's showing right now, it's not a very hard sell. It's – looks like we found the quarterback of the future. Well, we got $100-some-odd million of cap space, and now we got some draft capital along with it to help rebuild the roster. I don't think it's a very tough sell moving forward here, especially if the quarterback continues to look good. So that's why I don't think Vrabel is really in any danger as they move ahead here.
0.03%. It's not 0.0. It's 0.03%.
Okay. I'll buy that.
But let me ask you this. If you're Amy Adams Strunk and you said, Ran, Mike, we're drafting Will Levis.
Yeah.
Are you sitting here and saying, you know, Mike, I don't think you believed in my quarterback. You're fired. Just throw it out there.
Again.
Anything's on the table.
I can't say absolutely no. You're correct. My 0.0 was a mistake. I can't say absolutely no based on what we saw last year. But conventional wisdom tells me that surely she wouldn't do that. Surely.
Yeah. I think unless Mike Vrabel doesn't want to be here anymore, okay?
And well, there is
and
that's different than being fired.
Yeah, I think Mike Vrabel will be here next year and be the coach. And look, they've the clock absolutely is. I mean, it was already it's different clocks for Vrabel and Carthon anyway, right? But now, when you have the quarterback, and I know it's two games, but right now it appears you have the quarterback that you can build around and you can build a roster around while he's on a cheap deal. Well, that's where, I mean, it's already intense and it's already high pressure to make good choices of personnel. But this offseason, because the last offseason right now doesn't look great. I mean, Dillard was a mistake.
No right? question.
An absolute mistake. Key.
Not looking good.
Elshire is okay. Brunskill's okay. But not a very good offseason. Very low spending offseason, too. This has got to be a high spending offseason. That's got to be on Amy, by the way.
Yep.
I mean, Amy's got to be green light to absolutely use all of that cap space. But then it's a huge deal for them. But as far as developing Levis, I think it's completely wildly unfair to look at the Urban situation and compare it to Vrabel. And I think that those guys can develop Levis and continue working with him and continue to cultivate his talent.
Coming up next, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. You'll want to pay attention because last week, we all did very well in the competition. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5, the game, and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots of interesting games to get to this weekend. Obviously, the Titans have already played, so we're not going to be picking the Titans game, which does not exist this weekend. But Vanderbilt back in action, Tennessee in action. Lots of very good games coming up this weekend in college football and the NFL. And you'll want to pay attention, Joe, because it was a very good week for the program last week in Pigskin Pick'em.
We're geniuses.
Nick Kieser and myself going 5-1, each of us going 5-1 last week with our locks. Joe Rexer going 4-2. That's a heck of a week. That may be the
with
best,
my lock.
With your lock. Maybe the best week in the history of the competition. With all three of us combined.
I think there's a chance that it absolutely was, yeah. Very impressive. You guys should all listen to our picks and bet on our picks unless we lose.
Yes, you should. The overall standings, Joe Rexroad in first place, 33-21, 5-4 on his locks, good for 38 points. Myself in second, 28-26, 5-4 on my locks, 33 points. Nick Kieser, 30-24 overall, 2-7 on his locks, good for 32 points. But Nick Kieser did take a positive step forward with his lock. He was 1-7, now 2-7 on his lock. So it's a positive
job, Nick.
Momentum for Nick Kieser.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Let's begin with Auburn and Vanderbilt. Auburn, a 12.5-point favorite on the road, taking on the Doors. Joe Rexroad, you're up first. Auburn favored by 12.5.
Yeah, I'm not taking the cheese. What did Charles Robinson say about Levis? They said people say eat the cheese.
Eat the cheese.
Eat the cheese kind of guy. Not taking the cheese. I mean, I think Vanderbilt could have a chance in this game. They're home. This is probably, you know, they got two chances potentially to hang in there. But I don't know what's going on at quarterback. I mean, I think Walter Taylor's an intriguing guy. But, Swan's still banged up. Seals, I don't know what to think about that. We've talked about their deficiencies. I got to go with Auburn.
I don't think Auburn's very good. But I do think in this game they'll play good enough defense and find a way to muster up some offense against that Vanderbilt defense. So I'll go Auburn, and I will lock down on the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah,
Auburn will cover minus 12.5. They'll win by about 17-20 this weekend against Vanderbilt. Nick Kieser, Auburn, favored by 12.5.
Yeah, I like the lock. I'm not going to take it here on this matchup. I've got one of my picks that I'll take. But I do like the Tigers in this one. My brother will be in town. He is currently in school as a Tiger, and he has given me a lot of insight, and I feel confident with this pick. So I will take the Auburn Tigers over the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Some film study this week?
He gave you the insight of who they're playing this particular week.
You're right, because I've picked so many weeks ahead.
Yes, that's right.
You didn't pick Auburn, Alabama. Good job.
Way to go. UConn and Tennessee coming up tomorrow at Neyland Stadium. Tennessee on the ESPN app, favored by 36 in this game. I'll start. Give me the Huskies. I'll go UConn plus 36. Reason being, I think Tennessee wins by 35 So I will go UConn plus 36 in this matchup. UConn has actually played in some relatively close games this year. Jim Mora, Jr., the coach.
Yeah.
So former NFL coach, but Tennessee I think will win pretty easily. I think Nico gets in there for a pretty good amount of time tomorrow. But I'll go UConn plus 36. Nick Kieser, Vols favored by 36 tomorrow at Neyland.
I think it's too easy to kind of go with this. I mean, look, UConn, they have that, you know, veteran leadership in that coach.
Oh,
but look, man, I just think it's going to be a blowout. And I think I would love to see Nico as well. But I wonder if he's in after halftime or before halftime. That's really my question.
So you're going with the Vols?
Yep. No, okay, no. I got UConn, yes.
Going UConn.
Sorry.
I'm so confused.
I thought the way I was talking, you would know, but okay.
Well, I heard you make the pick.
Making picks, yep.
Joe Rexrow, Tennessee favored by 36 in this game.
Yeah, Tennessee 45, UConn 10. So we're all UConn.
Jeez.
Homers.
Yep. Yeah, UConn homers.
Congratulations to Vols for winning by 55 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Against the Huskies. We move to LSU against Alabama. Alabama at home in this game, favored by 3 points. Nick Kieser, we begin with you.
Oh, it's going to be a fun one. This should be more entertaining than the Tennessee-Alabama game. But I'm going to go Crimson Tide. I think that this will be down to the last little bit, and I think it'll come down to a field goal. So give me the Crimson Tide in this one.
Going with Alabama minus 3. Joe Rexrow, Bama favored by 3 in this one.
Yeah, I hope this is a great game. I'm excited for it. It's hard to know what to expect. I mean, I just watched Alabama look like a ragamuffin team for a half and then look like a team with a bunch of five stars for a half against the Vols. I got to go with them at home. I feel like I'm going to lose, and we're all going to lose because it's going to be like Bama 27, LSU 24, and, of course, a push means we lose.
Yep.
But I'll go with Bama.
LSU wins outright. LSU Ooh. Goes on the road, and they win. They're invested in this game.
Okay.
Look, LSU's offense, very, very good. Their defense yep. has been terrible. So Alabama might run for 500 yards in this game. I have no idea. But I will go LSU pulling the upset on the road. Brian Kelly takes down Nick Saban for the second consecutive year. LSU plus the 3 against Alabama. We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexrow, your first individual selection.
Yeah, Aggies at Ole Miss. You know, Ole Miss has a big opportunity ahead of them at Georgia after this. So I guess you could look at this like, is there any possibility of looking ahead or something like that? But at home, with that offense, and I know they kind of faded in the second half against Vanderbilt, but I think they are going to put a number on Jimbo and the Aggies, and minus 3, I love that. Give me Ole Miss and make that my lock.
That's a heck of a line.
Guarantee.
I saw that, and I was like, ooh, really? Okay. Ole Miss minus 3, locking down Rexrow is against A&M. Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
All right. Give me the Fighting Irish minus 3 over Clemson this weekend. This will also be my lock.
Mm. Yeah.
Feel confident with this one, and Notre Dame needs a good win, and I do think it's a little closer than what they would like it to be, but I think the Fighting Irish come out on top.
Will Tyler from Spartanburg be in Davos post-game press conference if they lose to Notre Dame?
Oh, God, let's hope so.
Just give him amazing
stuff. Give him a credential.
I went with this formula last week, so I'll stick with it. I know Stafford's status is up in the air, but I don't really care. Rams plus 3 against the Packers. The Rams will win outright on the road at Lambeau Field. Matt LaFleur remains the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. So with that in mind, Rams plus the 3. Joe Rexrow, your second individual.
One week we're going to stink, and this guy sucks, and then I
suck. There you go.
Just apply it.
All right, so a great game. I mean, I tell you what, you know, it's a Titans-free Sunday. Thankfully, it's a Lions-free Sunday, so I don't have to be forced to watch them. But we got some good stuff. I mean, Cowboys-Eagles is exciting, but the Sunday night game, Bills-Bengals.
Yeah.
I got to say, I love the Bengals' momentum right now. And maybe it's a little bit of fool's gold. Maybe the Bills go in there and get it done. I don't think so. I think the Bengals at home, primetime, the way they're playing, the way Joe Burrow's playing, I love the Bengals minus 2.
Bengals minus 2 at home against the Bills. Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
I'm going to go with the Bills as well.
I went Bengals.
Okay.
So you're going with the Bills or the Bengals?
I see a 1.5, by the way. I don't see it. Did you say 2?
Yeah, is it 1.5?
I saw 1.5 on FanDuel, but whatever.
That's fine. Do 1.5.
Let's do 1.5.
So, but I'm going on the opposite side. Sorry. But yes, going Bills in this matchup.
I'm going to say the opposite of you as well. You were just throwing all kinds of curveballs at us today, Keezer.
I have to.
My second individual pick, give me Texas, -4.5 at home against Kansas State. Interesting Big 12 matchup, but I think Texas wins by about a touchdown in this game, so I'll go Texas -4.5 against K-State. Nick Keezer, your final individual selection.
Oh, my gosh. Y'all have gone back-to-back games that I looked at this morning. Oh, my gosh. All right, I'm going to go Texas -4.5 over Kansas State.
Well said. And he's opposing you. He's going to go Texas.
It's the same games, though, back-to-back, both of y'all, but just opposite picks. I have nothing
Except
else to
it's
add.
The same, hold on, you just hold on. The same it's pick. The same pick, right?
Yes. You're picking Texas,
Please
correct?
Confirm.
Yes.
Please confirm, Nick. Okay.
Nick struggles sometimes with the pigskin pick. Him. At least it's the same week.
Hey, he got his lock last week.
He did. Yeah,
that's right.
That's right. You can't.
Joe,
you,
in your face.
Don't tread on me right now.
Joe, your final individual selection.
All right, so Chargers-Jets. And I know this isn't the most exciting. I just praised the Sunday night game. This isn't the greatest Sunday night game. Well, you know what? I don't hate it. I don't hate it. You know, the Chargers are -3.5
mm-hmm.
at New York. And I think the Jets are going to pull out a close game here. I love And even if they lose, I think it's a very close game. I absolutely love Jets +3.5 at home against the Chargers. Monday Night Football.
You a Zach Wilson believer?
Well, I'm a believer that he's incrementally improving to the point where he's not a complete disaster. And with that defense and with Breece Hall and with Garrett Wilson, that's okay.
Oh. And it's the Chargers. They'll find
and
a way to lose.
It's the Chargers. That's right.
I almost made this one my lock. I probably should have, but we'll see how it works out. Give me the Eagles -3 against the Cowboys. This is yet another opportunity for the Cowboys to get on national TV, play against a really good team, and get their butts kicked. So I expect that's probably going to happen. Give me the Eagles -3 against Dallas. And I think A.J. Brown has 150 yards receiving in this
Jeez.
Game.
Is somebody going to cover him at some point?
I don't think so.
It's unbelievable. Sorry to bring him up.
Is he going to get 2,000 yards this year?
I don't know. Would Will Levis like throwing to him right now?
Yeah, I think he probably would. This has been Pigskin Pick'em. You can check it out every Friday morning at 8:30 here on the program. We'll give our final thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Look ahead to Tennessee and Vanderbilt real quickly as well coming up over the weekend. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer here with you. On this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, we're out at Duncan at 14835 Lebanon Road here in Old Hickory. Chase and Big Joe will be out here from 9 to 11 as well. So we had people rolling in all morning long. Fresh donuts, fresh coffee. It's good stuff around here. Make sure you come on out and hang out here at Duncan at 14835 Lebanon Road in Old Hickory. Joe, your final thoughts on the Titans game from last night. They lose 20-16, now at 3-5. How damaging is that loss from the standpoint of, you know, all the positives around Levis, all that's great, and that's kind of a separate thing here. But in terms of the playoff race, getting back into the mix of things, you win that game, you get to 4-4, and then you start to look ahead to maybe what could be now at 3-5. How damaging is that loss for the Titans?
Pretty damaging, because if you look at the picture and what's ahead for everybody, I think there's a real chance if the Titans were to, you know, win enough, they'd have to play a lot better on defense than they did last night, but there's a chance that they could be competing with the Steelers for that seventh spot, and now they are three games behind the Steelers because they're two games behind, and they lose the tiebreaker. They lose the tiebreaker to them. They lose the tiebreaker to the Ravens. They lose the tiebreaker to the Browns. They have it with the Chargers, but you're talking wild card now. You're talking playoffs, so it's very damaging. I think the next game it's non-negotiable. You have to win the next game before you go into Jacksonville. Or you're coming home Thanksgiving weekend at 3-7 and basically not tanking, still trying to win. Vrabel will still be trying to win. The players will still be trying to win. But you're going to be in really bad shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty much done. So the next game is critical. This was a huge loss. And it's just, look, as encouraging as Levis is, this defense is so discouraging, just so disappointing. No impact really up front. no impact on Kenny Pickett. And by the way, he did have a rib injury. Let's remember that. I mean, Pickett missed some throws last night and wasn't perfect, wasn't great. It's a huge disappointment to lose to him playing like that. He did show some toughness, but letting them run for 166 yards, letting them just gash you play after play, when you're holding the lead in the fourth quarter of a game and they just run down your throat, 53 yards of that 92-yard winning drive, it's ridiculous. So this defense is just – it's this, one of the big stories of the season. This defense is a massive disappointment, and that's across the board. And, yes, they absolutely missed Kevin Byard last night on some in some key situations. So they've traded him away. They're still trying to make the playoffs. They got a couple picks, but their defense has been weakened. Their leadership has been weakened, and it's a bad loss.
It's a bad loss, and now you've got some time here to recover. We'll see what the offensive line looks like next week. They all got banged up last night with the exception of Aaron Brewer. So can they get healthy and get back ready to go as they take on Tampa Bay? And then there's the quarterback part of this. I said it earlier. I think most Titans fans would agree. I think you would agree. Needs to be the Will Levis show from here on out. I think he's shown enough in these two games where it's very intriguing to see what he might do the rest of the year. Not only from the future, the franchise standpoint and figuring out what you have, but also, I mean, if he plays the way he's played the last 2 weeks, he gives you a good chance to win, I think, as you move forward here too. But I am interested to see how Vrabel handles the Tannehill part of this, assuming, which may be a bad assumption on my part, that Tannehill maybe gets back out on the field next week and starts to get closer to being healthier.
Yeah, you know, the whole Tannehill thing is going to be interesting. Vrabel could today. He could
shut it down.
Quash it and just say, yep. Will's the guy, and that's that. I don't think that'll happen. I think there'll be a certain amount of gamesmanship or whatever you want to call it. Probably not uncertainty internally, but gamesmanship externally leading into that game. Will Levis should be the starting quarterback for the Titans the rest of the year. I don't think there's any doubt about it. There's no doubt about it in my mind. And I also think the way he played, he should get a little bit more trust in certain situations than he got last night. If you can do what he did, not perfect, but overall, the command of everything that he had in that environment with four of his five offensive linemen getting hurt and that pocket collapsing as it did, not all the time, but as it did often, then I think you need to start trusting him more to make plays to try to win you games.
Your thoughts on Auburn and Vanderbilt tomorrow? Obviously, Vanderbilt's going through it right now from a win-loss standpoint. I do think an opportunity for Vanderbilt at home, their final home game of the year tomorrow, to maybe get a win against Auburn. Auburn's not very good. I mean, I've watched Auburn a fair amount this year. They've got a good defense. They can make plays offensively at times, but it's clear like the roster is not at a point where Auburn can be competitive right now. Your thoughts on the matchup for Vanderbilt as they take on the Tigers in their home finale?
Yeah, look, it's an opportunity. I thought going into the year this was one of their prime opportunities. I thought they'd have more wins by now, that maybe this is one of those, you know, trying to go for a bowl game win. It's not. They're trying to salvage a win. There's just too many holes right now for this team and too many you got some key guys hurt. I don't know what's happening at quarterback. I don't think it's going to go well for them.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, it's hard to – based on what we've seen at this point, it's hard to think that things are going to go well for Vanderbilt on Saturday. I am interested, like, if Walter Taylor gets in there, what does that look like? Can there be some rhythm that you develop offensively? But I don't have a whole lot of confidence that Vanderbilt is going to end up winning the game. I thought maybe the line would be a little bit smaller just because Auburn's not that great and it is a home game for Vanderbilt, but 12.5 I think is about right.
Yeah, I think so too. They did almost cover at Ole Miss, which would have been nice for me.
Nico get in there
Never
tomorrow?
Never again. Nico. I bet you Nico. Well, I mean, Nico play, I bet you, late third.
Let's rephrase that. Nico get in there tomorrow, and does he get significant opportunities to throw the football, which he really hasn't so far this year?
I think some. I mean, Heupel, I think some. I think he'll get a chance to throw it some. I don't know, you know, if they're going to totally run it full once he gets in, if the score is what it should be. But I think Heupel will give him a chance to throw a little bit. Vols fans will get to see a little bit of him tomorrow. You know, get a little bit of an idea, a little bit more of an idea.
If you're a Tennessee fan and tomorrow's game, if things go well, you should take care of business pretty easily. But then you got Missouri after that, and then, of course, the Georgia game at home before you close out the year with Vandy. How encouraged should you be if you're a Tennessee fan with the way that Joe Milton has played the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, you should be encouraged. I mean, I think some Tennessee fans are just out on him and aren't open to new information. But three of his last four halves have been, I think, his three best halves of football as a college football player. So there's some progress there. Some of that, I think, is also, like, there's actually some progress with the receivers, even with Brew McCoy out. So, but he made some throws on the run last game, and I thought decisions and all that was – he had some good command out there. He's running the ball the last two games in designed ways that I think helped them too. So, you hope that he can give you a good half plus a football, you get a blowout, and you got momentum going to Missouri.
Yep, and then as far as the rest of the college football is concerned, LSU-Bama, the big one on CBS at 6:45. And you can check that game out on 94.9 The Fan here too. If you're listening to it. But it's going to be an interesting game that way to see how LSU and Bama goes, if Bama can take care of business at home. If Bama wins that one, I mean, they're getting to Atlanta at that point, and the college football playoff still on the table for Alabama, even after the loss to Texas early in the year and how disjointed they've looked at times offensively.
Yeah, which isn't exciting to me because I don't think they're good enough. And I'm sure it's not exciting for a lot of fatigued people who are sick of Bama, Georgia, et cetera, but they do have a chance. Can I jump on this guy real quick?
Sure.
This guy says, Joe picking Young over Stroud is comical. I said, so you missed last week when Young outplayed and beat him with the worst team in the NFL around him? Cool! And he said, so you missed Stroud putting 300 on the Steelers, huh? Look, C.J. Stroud might be the greatest quarterback in the history of mankind. I don't know. He also might be, like, out of a job in year three. Can we all acknowledge that? We're guessing. You acting like, oh, this game means everything, but this game means nothing. Let's let it play out.
Bryce Young, meanwhile, the greatest quarterback who ever lived already, according to Rex Rowe.
He might be.
That's going to do it for us
today. We don't know that he's not.
Here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. on Monday. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Chase and Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.